Before I actually read the gospel this morning, I want to set the context just a little bit. This text comes from something called the Farewell Discourse, and this is when Jesus prepares the disciples for the time when he will no longer be physically present with him. Just before this section, Jesus prays for himself and for strength for what lies ahead. After this section, Jesus prays for those who are not yet in the fold. But today, the reading that we will read, Jesus prays for the disciples and for us. It's a beautiful and an intimate prayer of a son to a father. Jesus talks to God about what the disciples have done, the faith that they have had. Jesus asks for God's blessing on the disciples as they remain in the world. And Jesus asks for God to protect them and sanctify them in the truth. The disciples are given a gift this day because they overhear Jesus praying for them. What a powerful experience that is. Jesus prays for us too this morning. Listen. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they've received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they're yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you have a happy place? A fabulous vacation spot? A place where you escape when you're overwhelmed by the world? Or when the world just doesn't understand you? If I don't have very much time, I retreat to our porch. And I take an absolutely mindless novel, a Diet Coke, and a bag of pretzels, and I crash on our porch. I even leave my phone inside the house. It's my escape. My father used to have a cabin in the mountains of North Georgia, and when we really, really needed to get away, we would head up there. There was no TV, no internet. When we needed to use the phone, we would have to climb up the mountain behind the cabin and catch a cell tower signal. It was a true escape from the world and the pressures that threatened to undo us. Rod Dreher, a conservative Christian blogger and author, released a book I've mentioned several times last year called The Benedictine Option. Dreer claims that for a Christian, the world is broken. He says, and I quote, "We live in a secular culture in which our Christian beliefs make little sense. We speak a language that the world more and more either cannot hear or finds offensive to the ears." The solution, Dreer argues, is that we as Christians need to escape from the world, as Saint Benedict did, who escaped the moral chaos of the 6th century by retreating into the forest monasteries. Dreer argues that Christians today need to create a community that separates us from all the powers of this world that oppose the gospel. He envisions Christianity as an ark floating atop the waters of destruction. I'll grant you, it's an interesting book and an interesting argument. I take absolutely no issue with the need to escape and recharge our batteries. I expect many of us do this frequently, and for some of us, it may be the only way we get through life. Escaping and separating ourselves from the world, though, is completely contradictory to what we heard in the Gospel of John today. Jesus doesn't tell us to retreat from the world, but Jesus sends us into the world, to live in the world without succumbing to its values and pressures, to live amidst the complexities of the world, but yet not get tangled up in them. As you'll remember, back on Maundy Thursday, Jesus calls the disciples together in the upper room and he washes their feet. He shares the wine and the bread. He gives them the commandment to love one another as he has loved them. And then he tells them he's leaving them. The disciples are a mess. They're confused, anxious. They have no idea what lies ahead of them. They're fearful and exhausted by the world. So Jesus does one more thing. Jesus prays for the disciples. And our text from John today, as I mentioned, is that prayer. What a beautiful prayer. In this prayer, Jesus doesn't pray that God takes the disciples out of the world. Instead, Jesus prays that the disciples be sent into the world. Jesus offers an alternative to retreating from the world. Jesus says that we should stay in the world, but under the protection of God. Jesus asked God to protect the disciples from the evil one, to guard them, to be with them. He asked God to sanctify the disciples, to make them holy for the work that God needs done through them. He prays that the disciples will have a relationship with God, an intimacy that will protect them as they live in the world. What's really different in the book of John is that Jesus prays for the disciples, and the disciples get to overhear that prayer. The disciples hear Jesus lifting them up before God, asking God to give them strength and to protect them in the world. Can you imagine overhearing Jesus praying for you? We can. This prayer is for us too. Jesus prays for our strength and our protection as we live in the world. Have you ever been prayed for out loud as you were heading into the world? I remember vividly the times that I have been prayed for, times when my own words couldn't form and someone spoke them to God for me, times when I needed the strength of a prayer offered for me so that I could stay in the world. Before we moved here, my husband, Alan, and I were part of a small group of five couples who met at one of our homes every other Friday night. We would share a meal, lots of laughs and conversation around the dinner table, and then we would do some sort of a Bible study. Sometimes the conversation went on so long that we never actually made it to the Bible study. 4 years ago, Alan's parents went through a particularly difficult time. For months, months and months, one of us would spend each week in Greenville, South Carolina to care for them. Small group was not very high on our priority list because we were barely managing the three kids, parents, a job, seminary. I'm really not sure how we actually did get through that time. One Friday night, I had just come home from Greenville, and Alan was preparing to leave the next morning. The phone rang. It was our small group, all of them, on the phone. They wanted to pray with us. Their prayers that night sent us back into that difficult world we were living in. But we were surrounded and strengthened by their prayers. As we left Marietta, Georgia, and came here to Alabama, this small group pulled us together yet again and sent us back out into the world again with prayer. It was a gift of love that they gave to us that night. As many of us head into the world, today especially, we might remember our mothers, our loving mothers, or our mothering figures in our lives who prayed for us. For these special people, we give thanks today. Perhaps you remember a mother who whispered a prayer into your ear at the bus stop each morning, sending you off into the world. Or a mothering figure who prayed for you as you were sent into the operating room, facing a surgery with an unknown outcome. Or maybe someone offered prayers of great thanksgiving as you headed into the next stage of your life with a new job, a degree, or a spouse. Or maybe it's not the big events that you remember, but perhaps you remember a mothering figure who prayed each day for you at the kitchen table, sustaining you day after day for life in the world. Next week, we will pray for five of our youth as they are confirmed. They'll come up to the front of the sanctuary and they will kneel. They will be surrounded by family and friends and those who have supported them in their faith. We will lay hands on their heads and pray out loud for them. Each young person will not only hear, but feel the power of prayer. Prayers to nurture and sustain their faith as they head into the world. Today, we will baptize Adam. And there is no greater honor than to bring this young man into this community of Christians. In our prayers for Adam, we will call upon the Holy Spirit to enter into his life, wash him clean of his sins, and give him eternal life. We will put the cross of Christ on his forehead, the cross which will never, ever be removed, but will always be there to strengthen him as he heads into the world as a child of God. Pastor David Lowes says that prayer isn't simply routine or a spiritual exercise. Prayer is love. Love which Jesus offers to us and love which we can offer to others. Pray aloud with someone this week. Love them through prayer as they head into the world. Amen.